I have a confession to make. I listened to Don, but I can't remember everything he said. And I can't remember whether he mentioned it or not, but I certainly want to remind everyone of the gospel meeting going on this week at Bangs. And I hope you'll be back with us tonight, selfish in that way. But certainly every night this week, Monday and Tuesday, as we have opportunity at 7, that gospel meeting will be going on there with David Harris, and certainly encourage you to support that and encourage them. I think you would be greatly edified by that. And also then continue keeping our own gospel meeting in our in your prayers and your thoughts and your actions. As I know Don did mention, we want to continue inviting others. We want to continue keeping that effort in our prayers, that the gospel indeed can go forth into this community. As I thought about that this recent week, and was thinking about the charge that God gave unto Ezekiel, a charge that I believe is very similar to ours, and so I invite your attention to Ezekiel chapter 2 and 3 this morning will be the basis for our sermon this morning. And then I couldn't help but think, appreciate Mike and his song leading and his abilities, and as he led us in that song, "O God, how great Thou art." And I thought, how close are we to what Ezekiel's facing right here in Ezekiel chapter 2 and 3? If you back up to Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel got to see something that certainly challenged him. He got to see a vision in which he saw the glory and the power, the very might of God. And upon seeing that, he's going to be given a great charge. A charge to go forth as a messenger. A charge to go forth unto his people as a watchman. A charge to go forth as a very servant of God. We sat there today, and I hope you thought about the words as we sung them, but, "O God, how great Thou art. When I consider all the works of Your creation, when I consider the very power of Your Word that brought all that I see into existence, when I consider all of the great blessings You gave me in life, God, how great You are. And when I consider something Ezekiel didn't even get to see, when I consider that God, His own Son not sparing, but Him sent He to die to take our sins away. When I consider the salvation I have because of the love of God, because He made possible for me that way of salvation, indeed my soul cries out again, Oh God, how great You are. When I consider I can enjoy an eternal state with God in heaven because I've been forgiven of my sin. Because I've been obedient to the gospel and in the plan that God established. And now when I pass from this life, I have the hope of an eternal glory with God in heaven. Again, my soul cries out, Oh God, how great You are. Then as we sing about the great glory and the honor of God, we remember we have a charge that we've been sent forth with. A charge, hopefully, we're striving to fulfill all the days of our lives, but particularly we focus on, again, as we think about an upcoming gospel meeting, a focused effort at spreading forth the gospel in this community. Why do we do it? We do it because we have a charge much like Ezekiel's. God is going to tell Ezekiel, I am sending you forth as a messenger. But not just any messenger. Ezekiel, your challenge is great because I'm sending you forth to a people that are rebellious. I'm sending you forth to a people that likely won't listen. They don't want to hear the message. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. They are an impudent children. They are stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. I'm sending you forth as a messenger, but yet they don't want to listen. And we can find ourselves in that same state at times, maybe even as Isaiah. Lord, who hath believed our report? Who is listening? What good is it doing? God said, I'm sending you forth and you spread this message whether they will listen or whether they will not. And there is going to be one great result of that. They are going to know that a prophet of God was among them. They're going to know that God was still caring for His people, even though they're in captivity, even though they don't know what's going to happen, even though they have continued setting themselves against God. They're going to know He was still pleading with them. At this point in time, Ezekiel is speaking to a people that are in Babylonian captivity. We're at a point in time in which some have been carried over, and yet they don't know everything that's happened or is going to be happening yet. People are still telling them, don't worry about it, you're just going to be here for a short period of time. Prophets like Jeremiah and Ezekiel are going to come along and say, get comfortable. Even Daniel's confirming that same message. You're going to be here 70 years. Don't listen to the false prophets that are still preaching of hope and peace that are going to take you back to Jerusalem any minute now. Get comfortable. You're still in rebellion to God, and yet notice, God is still pleading with you. He's still urging you to listen to Him. He's still urging you to turn back to Him. And hopefully, if nothing else, when the events that the prophets of God begin unfolding, when the events that the prophets of God have foretold of, when they begin unfolding exactly as they said, the people are going to know, indeed, there was a prophet of God among us. Indeed, there was someone that was telling us the truth. It wasn't the false prophets, it was the prophets of God. And that's what's still needed even today. A lot of false prophets have gone forth into the world. A lot of false prophets are giving people hope when they aren't living in a state of hope. When they aren't living in a right relationship with God, and yet He tells us as His messengers, even today, I send you forth whether they will listen or whether they will not. I think we begin to see this in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Oftentimes we refer to this as the Great Commission. The commission Jesus sent forth His apostles and those that would follow them as He ascends back into heaven. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Do you not see within there that Jesus is telling them, I'm sending you forth as a messenger? Whether they will listen, so be it, or whether they will not, so be it. But you send forth the Word of God. That's your charge. The charge there is to preach. The charge there is to go forth into the world and teach. The charge is not for us to force them into some sort of false submission. We can't beat them over the head until they'll obey the gospel. But we can keep preaching the gospel. In fact, is that not what Paul encouraged Timothy? He said, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Paul knew from personal experience they're not always going to listen. But Timothy, you always be ready. You be instant. Any opportunity you have, you preach the gospel, whether it is convenient or whether it is not. Whether people put hindrances before you or whether they do not. Whether they really want to hear or whether they don't. Whether it's popular or whether it's not. You preach the Word. That's what's needed in the world today. And so in the same way, we're sent forth as messengers of God, sometimes unto people that don't want to listen. But the Word has to go forth. I think also of Matthew chapter 13 and the parable of the sower. There the sower goes forth into his field, as you know the parable, and he's scattering his seed. Some of it's going to fall on good ground, yes, and bring forth great harvest. Some among the thorns, some among the stones, where it's going to be choked out, going to be removed from those soils. And yet even there's a pathway there that's hard, it's trodden, the heart is not receptive unto the gospel, and it's going to be removed before it ever even makes an indention. But you go forth and you scatter the seed. Let it fall upon those hearts. We go forth and we preach the Word, and those that are receptive will receive it. Those that reject it will have known God's Word. God's going to show them there was no excuse. They knew what was right. They knew what was wrong. He continued pleading with them even to this day, as we mentioned. Jeremiah is still back in Jerusalem pleading with the people. Ezekiel's here with the captives, the lowly captives, we might say. And Daniel, of course, in the palace of kings. God still had a voice. God was still pleading with His people. I send you forth as a messenger. But also I send you forth as a messenger full of God's Word. Whose message? God's. He makes no doubt about this. Begin reading in chapter 2 in verse 7. Thou shalt speak My words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be thou not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. There was written lamentation and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat, that thou mightest find, eat this roll, go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat. Fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat. It was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Indeed, those that are following God's Word will recognize it as a word of sweetness. A word full of love and grace and mercy extended into the world. A message of hope and a message of salvation. But he said, Ezekiel, you be full of My Word. Eat it. Take it in. Imbibe it. And then, when you have done that, he's able to say in Ezekiel 3 and verse 4, Son of man, go. Get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with My words unto them. Don't go with your own message. Don't make up what you think the people need to hear. You go forth with the Word of God. You go forth with this message that I have given unto you. Drop down Ezekiel 3 verse 10 and 11. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all My words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears, and go. Get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God. Whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. Indeed, time and again, Ezekiel 2 and verse 4, Ezekiel 3, verse 11. Ezekiel 3, verse 27. The basis, the very foundation, the authority of the message that Ezekiel is sent forth with. Thus saith the Lord God. Ezekiel, you tell this people, not your message, but mine. You let them know this is the Word of God. Indeed, Peter looks back and he says, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, 2 Peter 1 and verse 21. It was by inspiration they were sent forth. Ezekiel, I'm giving you My words. That's what you speak unto them. You speak all of them. You hear, you listen to Me. You eat My Word. Make it a part of you. You go forth with that message unto the people. Is that not still our charge today? Well, I believe this may have had specific instance in the time of miraculous ability. Nevertheless, Peter is also going to say in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. How did the oracles of God speak? They were moved by the Word of God. We're not inspired in that same fashion today. But nevertheless, if you're going to speak, you make sure that which you preach, that which you teach, is the Word of God and not your own message. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Mark 16, verse 15, go forth into all the world and teach all nations. We can't do that if we don't know the Word of God. And so we're given the charge as Christians even today in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You study it, you learn it, and then you can go forth and preach it to people. You help them to understand it and to know what God would have them to know. I think this is a beautiful illustration given to us in God's Word. That when we read in Ephesians 5 and verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but you be filled with the Spirit. You drink deeply from that which the Spirit is giving. We think of a drunkard that is wasting himself away in a bar because he's filling himself up with that which intoxicates. Don't do that. There's no point. It's useless. It's destructive. Something to avoid. But you be filled otherwise with the Spirit. You take that parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How am I going to be filled with the Spirit? Letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly with all wisdom. Drink deeply of the fountains of truth that God has given us through inspiration. Be filled even with His Word. Find that on other occasions as well. James 1 verse 21. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Put aside from you sin and the ways of the world. And receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. What are you telling me, James? Let that Word be a part of you. Let it be implanted even deep in your heart. The Word that's been preached unto you, make it a part of you. Make it a part of your life. Even as a limb is grafted into a tree. Those are no longer two things, but they are united, changed, but now one unit. He says, so the Word of God has been engrafted in your heart. You've taken it in. Let it be a part of you. And with that then you can go forth and preach the Word of God. And so first the prophet here had to be full of the Word of God. And when we do that, he was able to tell unto Timothy, take heed unto yourself, unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing so, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. First has to benefit you. You first have to take it in, even as Ezekiel first had to hear the Word of God. He said, but when you have that, then you go forth with that message. Not only that, Ezekiel, I'm sending you forth as a servant or a messenger here that is brave and that is strong. Be not afraid. Look in Ezekiel 2, verse 6 and 7. He says, thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and though thou dwellest among the scorpions, be not afraid of their words. Be not dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a most rebellious house. Again and again, Ezekiel is told, you preach the Word of God. And here he said, I am sending you forth without fear. Don't fear them. In fact, Ezekiel, know that this is a people that is going to mistreat you. Their words even will sting as scorpions. Their looks, as we use the expression, looks that could kill. And yet you go forth bravely. Even in the midst of that cruel treatment, still proclaim my word. Maybe the one that I love even more. In chapter 3, verse 5 through 9. Thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent them to thee, or thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. They will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impotent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against thy forehead. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. I'm sending you unto your own people. People of the same language, people of the same background, people that should have had the same knowledge, but they're going to reject you. People of another language, people of another nationality, they might have received you, but these my people, they will reject you. They are stubborn and they are hard-hearted, but I've made you more stubborn. I've made you stronger. Thy forehead is as adamant. It is strong. It refusing to change. The idea may even be here of something as we would consider as a diamond that is hard. We think of one of the greatest cutting substances on earth. It's diamond. Diamond tip saw blades. You think about diamonds cutting glass and other things. It's going to be hard. We think about adamant, someone that is adamant, that refuses to change. That's a good example here as well. Ezekiel, don't change. I've sent you forth with a message. They're going to be set against you, but don't change. Keep preaching the Word of God as I've given it unto you. That's the same message we have. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is sending forth the 70 on what we call a limited commission. It's during His ministry, He sends them forth to prepare the way of the coming of the kingdom. Yet He does not. He warned them. Some will receive you into their houses. Some will receive you into their cities. Others will not. But don't give up. You shake off your feet in one area and you keep moving along and you go to another area. Are we not going to be strong even as the apostles, as they stood before that great council and Peter and the other apostles said, we must obey God rather than man. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. They can set themselves against you, but you do God's will. You fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear Him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, Matthew 10:28. Who are you going to serve? Whom are you going to honor? Who are you going to respect the most? You make sure it's God and you follow His will. Also, I think of 2 Timothy 2. Excuse me, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 and 13. Paul will tell Timothy, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. And he goes on in that section in between and he talks about him not being ashamed, neither of the gospel nor of Paul, a prisoner. Don't be ashamed, even in the face of persecution. But verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard from me in faith and love, which is in Jesus Christ. Hold fast. Continue preaching that which you know is right. Refuse to change. That's the messenger God is calling Ezekiel to be. But He also says, Ezekiel, I send you forth as a watchman. I send you forth as a watchman that are among the people. You go back to Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 11. Go, get thee to them of the captivity, to your people. And God would say, even my people. Even this people that is rejecting me. And you speak to them. You look then as we drop down to Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 14. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of God was upon me. The anger here that is pent up within Ezekiel is not directed to God for the mission He's sending him out on. I believe this anger, this frustration is directed directly to the people of Israel. These stubborn and hard-hearted people. Think of Ezekiel. Here I've seen this great image of God's glory and of His power. And then I turn and I look at you, and you are so hard-hearted, you refuse to submit your will to Him. Some ways we almost want to ask, how dumb can you be? Will you not soften your heart? And so in verse 15 it says, I came to them of the captivity that dwelt by the river Kibar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. Notice, Ezekiel is among the people. I sat where they sat. I think there are two great lessons we need to learn here from Ezekiel. Number one, he was in them, but he was not of them. Ezekiel, you go and you preach to them of my word. Don't participate in their stubbornness. Don't be like them. Certainly don't participate in their sin, but you teach them my word. That's our charge even today. Jesus is praying in the garden for His apostles, and He says, I pray not that you would take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. John 17, verse 15 and 16. As Christians, we are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. In fact, Paul is going to tell us, as he's writing to the Corinthians, come out from among them and be you separate. Don't join yourself unto the world and follow after their actions. For if you'll do that, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be a people, you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. You be in them, but don't be among them. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 16, paraphrasing there shortly, love not the world, none of the things of the world, for all of those things will pass away. But rather you follow God, that you might look forward to that eternal home with God in heaven. Ezekiel, that's what you're called to do. People today are still called to do that. I send you forth into the world. You can't be an influence on people if you're not among them. But don't be like them. Not only that, but I think even more is the message here of Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 15 is Ezekiel is overwhelmed. I want you to imagine for a moment. I've not spent much time in the mall of early, but go maybe to think of a larger place, some public venue where a lot of people are gathering, maybe here in Brownwood. Maybe picture some mall, maybe in Abilene or some larger mall. Picture yourself going there and just sit on a bench and watch people pass by. Observe their activities. What are they doing? What are they acting like? Are they godly? Are they portraying themselves as Christians? Or do we see the ways of the world and sin and the destructiveness thereof? And as you sit there and observe, I think you can begin to get a little glimpse of what Ezekiel's looking at. You contrast the holiness of God that he's seen in chapter 1 to the great sin of the people. It's overwhelming. A people lost in sin. And so he sits there astonished for 7 days. God sent you to preach to this people. And yet he's astonished. It's as if he's frozen. How can this stubbornness, how can this hard-heartedness be? And you know, we can be overwhelmed at times as well. We look around at the world and we see all the sin and we see all the wickedness and we say, it's too great. I can't do anything about it. And yet did not that type of compassion that Jesus had as He looked out on a people lost in sin. He overlooks the city of Jerusalem, a people He's come to save, and yet they're about to kill Him, a people that have rejected the Word of God. And He cries over them, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Matthew 23 and verse 37. Instead of being overwhelmed, that type of compassion drove Jesus to action. Again, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38, Jesus overlooked a crowd, a multitude here. And he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, were scattered as sheep having, were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He's going to turn to his disciples and say, the harvest is indeed white. Pray to the Lord that he would send forth laborers into his vineyards, reapers, workers in the kingdom of God. Oh, it's a great task. It's a challenge. It can be overwhelming at times. But as you look at that sin, as you look at the problems of the world, don't just shut down and sit there. Remember, you've got a message. A message of salvation. A message that can help. And I think that's what the Lord now reminds Ezekiel of. I've sat there for 7 days. Now chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It came to pass that at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. Don't just sit there. I've given you a charge. You are a watchman. You have a responsibility even unto these people as you have my word to pronounce it unto them. As a sentinel that's set up high that he watches over for the people. If there's an approaching army, if there's an approaching danger, you alert the people. That's your job. Ezekiel, that's your role in a spiritual realm. The enemy, the danger is already present. You better be alerting the people of God. You're a watchman. And so, Ezekiel, I'm sending you forth as a watchman even unto the lost. Verse 18 and 19. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Verse 19, but if you warn him, and he still die. He'll die in his wickedness, but you'll have delivered your own self. You'll have done your duty. The sentry that warns the army in approaching danger, and yet they refuse to get up, they refuse to prepare themselves, have gotten what they asked for. But Ezekiel, you go forth as a warning. You know, we can stand there and we can say, people just don't want to hear anymore. It's useless. We're not going to worry about it. We can say people just aren't interested. They just don't care. We can say that preaching the gospel doesn't work anymore. We can say gospel meetings don't work anymore. We can say all of these things don't work anymore. Are you just going to shut down and not warn the world? Is the message not going to go forth into our communities and into our world? It says you're sent forth with a message to the lost. Paul was only able to tell the elders from Ephesus that I am pure from the blood of all men. Because I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, Acts 20 and verse 26 and 27. I preach the word of God among you. I have done my charge. I've been a watchman. I've warned you of approaching dangers. I've told you what to be careful of. And so I have even preached unto the lost. But Ezekiel, I send you also to the saved. I send you to the righteous. Much the same message here found in verse 20 and 21. When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, I allow him to enter into that sin. He shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sins, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live. Because he is warned, thou hast delivered thy soul. He said, Ezekiel, you preach even unto the righteous. You preach even unto those that are saved, even unto those that are doing that which is right. And that's what we need to remember. We don't just preach the gospel for the lost. We don't just have gospel meetings for the lost. We don't just put forth efforts for the lost. We also even do it for those that are saved. This again is a great theme throughout the New Testament. Paul would say again to those elders in Acts 20 and verse 31, remember that the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. Even those that were saved, I was still warning you. To Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6, he said, "Put the brethren in remembrance of these things. If you do that, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ." Put them in remembrance, remind them of things they've already heard. Because we need to be reminded. We need to be built up. We need to be encouraged. Even Peter also would say, "I will not be negligent always to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you into remembrance," 2 Peter 1, 12 and 13. As long as I can, I'm going to keep warning you, and I'm going to keep reminding you of things you already know, because we are warning you. You have a message of hope. You have a message of salvation. Don't hold back. Preach the word. Remember, you're a watchman among the people, to preach to the lost, to preach to the saved. And that's our charge even today. And just briefly, he also tells Ezekiel, "You're a servant. Ezekiel, you're a servant, so speak when and what I tell you." In your own time, read through chapter 3, verse 22 through 27. God's going to tell him, there's a time when I want you to speak and there's a time when I don't want you to speak. You listen to me. There's a time when I'm going to send you forth and you go when I send you. Remember whose servant you are. You are a servant of God. Who appointed you as a messenger? Who appointed you as a watchman? God did. And so you listen to His instructions. You listen to His will. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve the will of God, that we can say in all things, in word or deed, in the name or by the authority of the Lord Jesus, we're going to act? Colossians 3 and verse 17. Is that going to be our standard for authority? If that's what's going to direct us, if so, we're going to respect God's word. We can't change it or alter it. If any man preach any other gospel than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Galatians 1 and verse 9. You go forth and you preach the message of God. You preach His word. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. You do His will. Because you're going to be a servant of someone. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants you are to whom you obey? Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness, Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. You're somebody's servant. You're either for Jesus Christ or you're against Him, Matthew 12 and verse 30. You can't have it both ways. Whose servant are you going to be? Even today we need to ask ourselves that same question. Whose servant will I be? Am I going to go forth as God's servant? As God's messenger, as God's watchman, spreading forth the great gospel into the world? If I'm not, and I'm not helping, and I'm not on the side of Christ, that's a charge. A charge that was given unto Ezekiel that's still very much active and applicable to us today. Charge that we need to continue keeping utmost in our lives. What are we doing as individuals and congregations? Will we put forth that effort to be a watchman, to be a messenger, to be a servant of God at every opportunity that we have? You know, we can only do that first and foremost if we're on His side. We've been added unto that army, the body of Christ, which He's promised to save. We can do so by hearing the gospel, by repenting of our sins in faith and confessing Christ, being baptized, immersed in water for the remission of our sins. They're washed away and we're added to that great body. As we continue then in faithfulness as God's servant, as His messenger, as His watchman unto the people of this world. If we stumble and fall in that, don't just stay there. And don't be overwhelmed by the task before us, but get back up. If we have sin, we can repent of that sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, 1 John 1 and verse 9. And we continue forth in that charge. Will you do that even today? Even this week? Even this year? indeed throughout all of our lifetime. And if some public response to that invitation needs to be made, would you not also make that, even as right now together we stand and sing?